This podcast is brought to you thanks to the generous support of Whistler Blackcomb, leaders in delivering adventure.
Are the doors closing? Are we painting ourselves into that corner, or are we still creating options? And so if things are adverse, but you've got backup plan, you can communicate, and you're relatively confident that objective hazards or the hazards that you're dealing with aren't compounding or creating risk for you, then you're probably okay to keep going.
Welcome to Delivering Adventure. This is the podcast that explores what it really takes to share adventure like a pro with your friends, your family, and as a profession. My name is Chris Capio, and I'm coming to you from Whistler, British Columbia.
And I'm Jordy Shepherd, recording from Canmore, Alberta. After a lifetime of working extensively in different parts of the adventure guiding industry, Chris and I have teamed up to launch this podcast. In each episode, you will hear top adventure guides, managers, marketers, and athletes share their best stories, advice, and trade secrets. The goal of this podcast is to share how you can take yourself and others farther from the mountains to the office and beyond.
How can we ever know when we should turn back or keep going? Determining when to change our plan because there is too much risk or uncertainty, or when to go for it because we are ready, can be hard to determine at times. This is especially true when human factors like bias or internal and external pressure are present. A desire to fulfill an objective, like reaching a certain level of run or trail, reaching a certain place like the top of a peak or ridge, or becoming more proficient at a technical skill, can influence us to keep going forward. This in itself isn't a bad thing. But what happens when conditions have changed? Energy levels are not what we need, things have taken longer, motivation to continue is lower, or people were slower to learn skills and technique. This is when plan continuation bias can compromise our judgment and push us forward when we really should be changing our plan to something simpler that has less risk. This is something that we explored in our last episode with Mike Adolph. In this episode, we flip it around and explore how we can determine when it's okay to keep going. Just as plan continuation bias can push us forward when we should abort our initial plan, other human factors can cause us to hold back or second-guess ourselves when we are well-positioned to continue. Some of these factors can include fear, negative past experiences, a lack of confidence, or concern that the people we are with may not have the skills or be resilient enough to continue.
On paper, the safest decision to make is often to turn around or to choose a route that takes on less risk. However, in reality, delivering adventure isn't always about picking the safest choice. At the core of every adventure is an element of risk-taking. Being able to decide when to go for it and when not to is a defining trait of professional adventure guides and instructors. Joining us to continue this discussion is Mike Adolph. Mike is an ACMG IFMGA mountain guide and the current technical director of the Association of Canadian Mountain Guides. This is our third episode with Mike this season, and we encourage you to check out his other episodes if you had not done so already.
Jordy, it's happened to me a number of times where my instinct was to pick the safer option, but my clients convinced me to choose the more difficult one and proved to me that they were right and that maybe I was being too cautious. In each case, there was some information that I may not have considered or something I underestimated. Sometimes I thought people were not fit enough, or were not interested in taking on that level of challenge, or maybe they weren't good enough. I've also been in situations where I have become more cautious due to having a negative experience in a similar situation. Jordy, have you ever been in a situation where your instinct was to turn around or abort your original plan, but you chose to keep going? And if so, what happened?
Well, Chris, I was guiding alpine climbing in the summertime in the Bugaboos in British Columbia, a beautiful area of granite peaks sticking out of glaciers. And I've been hired by a fairly large group. I think there's probably 10 or 12 of them, and only one of me as the guide, as the camp guide, which can happen. And they had their own trip leaders within the group. And the idea was that I would take out 1 to 2 clients per day, unless we were doing a pretty kind of low end, like glacier travel objective where I could take more of them on the rope. And if we're doing anything bigger, steeper, longer, that I would just be responsible for 1 or 2 people, and I would rotate over about a week through the various people so that everybody gets guided in the end. But as happens in the mountains, there was one good weather day to climb Bugaboo Spire, one of the prized peaks in the area. And of course, everybody in the group wanted to climb it that day because that was the only good weather window day. And so I had my 2 clients, and I was cautioning that it's not a great idea because I was going to end up being responsible for these people, even though, like, for the entire group. And I knew we were going to get strung out along the peak, and that I was probably going to travel faster with my 2 clients that day. But we decided to go anyways. And so one of the factors there was that the weather was forecast to be quite good. You don't want to be moving slowly with a large group of people in the mountains with on a granite lightning rod in a lightning storm. So, but I was still very apprehensive. And sure enough, it took a long time. So I did the responsible thing. I'd scamper ahead with my 2 clients, and then I'd wait for the rest of the parties to show up. And then I'd scramble and scamper ahead through some technical terrain and less challenging terrain, and then wait for them again. And then we get to the summit, and then I wait for them to make sure everybody gets on top. And then we have some technical rappels, same thing on the way down. And so we get down to easier traveling terrain, and I head back down the ridge with, you know, basically hands in my pockets, short roping my clients, and through pretty easy terrain, we get to the Bugaboo Snow Patch Col. And it's starting to get towards evening now, and the weather's still good, fortunately. And I can see a red jacket that I know is attached to my group up on the peak. And it's not moving very fast. It's actually not moving at all. And they're probably 2/3 of the way down the route. And so I leave my 2 clients there, and I just walk up about 1/3 of the way up the mountain and say, "What are you doing?" And they're all, you know, sharing ropes and rappelling down these little steep steps. And I said, we just gotta go, because we're all getting hungry. And so let's move it along here, and let's put the rope away. And we're better traveling without it. And, you know, just hang on to the really solid rock we have here, and let's down climb together. So we did. So it did work out. But had I had my choice that morning or the night before planning it, I would have said, no, we're not all going up there. But it did work out.
Awesome. Well, that's what this episode is about, Jordy.
So let's bring in Mike to hear what he has to say. As always, if you enjoyed his episode, please share it with your social network and your friends. So we've been talking about continuation bias in terms of turning back, right? And deciding not to carry on. But let's talk about it on the other side. You know, I think one of the fears that people can have is aborting too soon and then being left with a feeling that they didn't try hard enough, right? You know, have that lingering feeling like, oh, we were there. We were so close, and we turned around, and maybe we should have carried on. And part of this belief can be attributed to mantras like no pain, no gain. So how can we decide if we should just push forward in situations when things start becoming more difficult than anticipated? We've talked about when we should turn back, but when should we maybe consider keeping going?
Good question. So, I kind of thought about this one, and I'm going to just, you know, just a personal note here. When I was gaining experience in the mountains, whether it's climbing or alpine climbing or skiing, I felt like I spent more time turning around only to find out that the weather improved or whatever at the end of the day than I was actually having success. And to me, that kind of weighed super heavily. And I think this is exactly what we're talking about. But at the same time, I also reminded myself that at the time when I made the decision to turn around, I was okay with it. So how do you adjust the dial, or how do you find the path to know when you're on the right track? I think One, we can go and actually experience discomfort. What is that like? So what is it like to be too cold? What is it like to be out in super high winds? What is it like to be out in a blizzard, but in a safe area, right? Where resources or help or escape is very possible. And also couple that with preparedness. So you're out in cold conditions in a blizzard, but you have the navigation tools, you have the skills to use those tools, you have a backup plan, you've communicated where you're meant to be with other people, and you have tools to be able to initiate an emergency response. So you have that backup behind you. So you're familiar with what discomfort is. Now you're starting to arm yourself for what might happen in the worst case scenario. And then think about, are the doors closing? Are we painting ourselves into that corner, or are we still creating options? And so if things are adverse, but you've got backup plans, you've got the gear to support yourself, if things go sideways and you end up getting pinned down, you can communicate and you're relatively confident that objective hazards or the hazards that you're dealing with aren't compounding or creating risk for you, then you're probably okay to keep going. When uncertainty starts to grow with any of those components, like, oh, maybe I don't have enough stuff, or I don't know if my communication device is going to work, or I don't know if I can use my navigation tools appropriately, or I don't know if wind loading is creating a bigger cornice, is when those things start to stack up, when the uncertainty starts to grow, then you should be heading in the other direction. That might be the time to think about turning around.
Yeah, and maybe we could draw a bit of a parallel here to when we had Grant Statham on the show for one of the episodes he was on for. We were talking about intuition and how does intuition come into play. And he had an excellent point that intuition, he generally uses that for using intuition to actually stand down on objectives and turn around, not using it for something that would cause us to just make the decision to move forward. And I think what you're saying is similar in that making the decision to carry on should be fact-based and not so much desire and emotion and intuition-based. Like, I think we got this. We really want to have this and achieve it, so we're going to do it and let's go team kind of thing, right? And it's more on the other side of saying, well, what are the facts here? What is working against us here? What is working for us? How prepared are we? How fit are we? How experienced are we? Has anybody experienced this type of thing in the past? Oh yeah, I have. And it went really poorly. Okay, that's good. Or I have, and this is how we made it work. It was a very similar situation, right? So you can also go back through that, through your mind, your experiences, and say, you know, collectively as a group. And that could be, you know, I'm the guide, but I've got some clients with me. Maybe this is like the 20th time they've hired a different guide to climb this peak, and they've got way more experience and they've turned back every single time. Right. And now it comes out like, well, actually we turned back this time because of this and this time because of this, but this feels different. It feels like maybe this is actually going to work for us for these reasons that is fact-based. And then you can go ahead with less uncertainty, like you're saying, Mike, and more surety that there, if something is not going to go well your way, you can't get over the top and down the other side like your goal is, or up to the top and get back down in the timeline you think you're going to. Well, at least you're prepared to camp safely but uncomfortably through the night or that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's a really good parallel. I think, you know, the other thing we were talking about too was in the previous episode was thinking back on, you know, how did the day go? What were some of the key decision points? And I think when we're trying to manage or figure out where we fit in that, is continuation bias causing me to go forward, or is it giving me the opposite effect where I'm thinking I'm turning around right away? It's also, I think, important to also consider that when we go out to the mountains and nothing happens, that's also giving you a bit of an indication. I mean, non-event feedback is a thing, so you still have to measure all of the processes, all the tools that you're using, even, you know, when things, even when there is no negative consequence or bad result that occurs. I think that's an important thing to kind of keep in mind. And then just make sure that you're maintaining alignment with the people that you're with. So making sure that the communication is happening and that everybody's on the same page and everybody's aware and people know that they can speak their mind and be heard and be respected for their opinions, whether it's a professional or a recreational setting.
So in terms, I think what we're talking here in terms of group awareness and self-awareness is that we should try and figure out when we're in that gray zone and then try and figure out where to go from there. Because often we don't even realize, or we don't have discussions about being in the gray zone. We still feel like we're outside of that, but we're actually totally in it. What would be some indicators in within the guiding world or the instructional world or within the group that you could see coming up that indicate that you should recognize you're in the gray zone and that you've got to start paying more attention to your decision-making and your biases?
I think, you know, there might be some gains made right away with that whole thinking about what does the day look like? What does the trip look like? What are some of those parameters that I'm going to be looking for to say, yeah, we're good to go. We're good to continue on with the objective, or, you know, things are changing. When adversity starts to ramp up, you know, if adversity is ramping up, well, maybe, you know, in a skiing sense, visibility is, you're starting to lose visibility, you know, navigation is going to become more or increasingly more complex. You know, big changes in the environment that maybe you've outlined. So it might be if you're ice climbing, for example, that, you know, you decided that if temperatures got above this certain point, or if we're seeing this kind of thing happen, while we're out, things are starting to warm up, that should be a you know, an indicator that things are kind of maybe not where we want them to be. I think making that list of some of those key decision-making points, and certainly it's one of those things that we really coach our apprentice guides and folks that are coming through the program to do, because it's easy to come up with one or two, but I think you can really, if you kind of go with a fine-tooth comb over the day, what are all those individual junctions where you could notice change, or, you know, potentially make a decision go one way or the other. If you have that list to work off of, it's a good reminder of those prompts. And if you're constantly looking at it going, well, I'm not really too sure, or I think instead of I know, you know, if you're using those sorts of terms, and that's probably a good indicator that you're wandering into the murk a little bit.
Yeah, I think to summarize what you're saying there, tell me if I'm wrong, but it's if you are feeling like there's more uncertainty rather than less uncertainty, like uncertainty is growing, adversity, and it's actually just kind of feeling tougher. It's not easy peasy here, and quite straightforward. It's become quite a bit more complex. If you're having self doubts and little bits of kind of fear points that are kind of prodding at you and talking amongst the group, and then you're starting to get the feeling that, you know, somebody's lagging back a little bit, is commonly an indicator that there's a bit of dissension in the group about how things are going, right? And it's like, well, why are you moving, you know, why are you not moving as quickly as you were? Well, I'm feeling kind of apprehensive. Okay, well, let's discuss that. Right. So it's that, yeah, when it's not as easy as you thought, not as straightforward, it's becoming more challenging, it's becoming a little more scary, and things are just more uncertain.
I think that's a good summary. I think the big one, and I maybe didn't do a great job, is that just rise in uncertainty, right? As soon as there's more I don't knows than I do knows, or I'm not really too sure, or like you were saying too, Jordy, I think is a good one. Self-doubt starts to work its way in. It might be a good time to check in with everybody else and say, are you guys feeling the same thing? And if the answer is yes, well, great. If the answer is no, okay, well, why aren't you feeling the same thing? And maybe what they're seeing, or what, you know, other members of the party or other guys that you work with are seeing, can help to whittle away at that uncertainty. So things become more certain for you. It kind of balances back and forth. But I think, you know, doubt, uncertainty, if they're on the rise, it's a good time to check in.
So in addition to climbing and ski guiding, you're also a guide trainer and an examiner with the ACMG. When you're training and examining guides, what are you looking for in your students' decision making that can indicate to you that they can spot the difference between knowing when to continue forward with the original plan and when to change their course of action? This is a tough question, and it's the core of the guide exams. This is how to pass a guide exam. Go.
This is how to pass. So I think I've kind of talked or hit on this a couple of times. Taking a detailed look at your day, the day plan, all of the potential decision points that might arise, you know, what some of the variables might be, what you're looking for to feel confident in moving on with the plan. That all needs to happen before we even step foot into the terrain. And so for me, that's kind of the first indicator is how is everybody doing there? And if we hit on all the key things, and if we kind of run through a list, you know, this is what I'm thinking about. These are some of the biases that I think I'm going to affect the day, and somebody misses a big one. That's kind of like, okay, so, well, what do you think about this? And have a bit of a discussion. I mean, it's all the other thing that we have to keep in mind with the courses and exams is it's learning. And so people inevitably make mistakes. I certainly made a lot when I was going through. They used to call me Marginal Mike, actually, by the way.
And look at you now.
Look at me now. And then moving into the field, you know, for folks that are listening that maybe have done an exam, there's always this question that comes, what are you thinking? Right? And it's hard, I think, working as an instructor or as an examiner to be in the habit. And we had an instructor meeting not too long ago to try and make a habit of always asking that question and not just when things are potentially going to go south. And I think when asked a question, if people, they don't need to respond quickly, but if they're tuned into some of the key things, so I would look for situational awareness. Okay, so what's going on around me? What are some of the hazards? How are they going to impact my group? Am I walking towards something, or have I noted it and I'm planning to kind of head away? What's going on within the group dynamic, and where are we at within the day plan is one of the critical decision-making points coming up. If all that stuff can be communicated concisely, it doesn't have to happen right away, but if it can be communicated concisely, then to me, that's a good indicator that they're thinking about all the right things. We're kind of checking in, you know, how are things going, and they're really overly fixated on one hazard, it can, you know, it makes you think that, well, they're really anchoring onto this one thing and they're missing the big picture view. So, you know, in those times it might require a little bit more exploring or a little bit more discussion with the individual to see, okay, well, what else is out there that they're thinking about? And maybe they need to kind of work on building that skill, or maybe we need to talk about the one particular hazard that they're anchoring on, because maybe it's something that they feel strongly enough about that there might be a turnaround decision coming at that point. And so we just try to check in as much as we can, try not to do it just when there's critical decision points, and, you know, just we're looking for an answer that can relate what's going on in the terrain, demonstrates good situational awareness, picks up on the key hazards, and identifies a plan that kind of aligns with what the overall game plan is.
Yeah, and I think a big part of that is also that they're focused on the technical decision-making and the leadership side of things, but they're also able to look back about where they've been and mm-hmm. and who they're with. And the client care thing is a big part of guiding. That's actually probably one of the biggest parts of guiding, you know, aside from the safety thing, because if people don't like you and don't feel cared for or safe, they ain't hiring you again. And so that's right. Pretty career limiting. And so also having that capacity to be looking forward and looking for the route and judging hazards and looking at the time but also working with your people. is really, really hard. And it's hard to do. Even, you know, the harder it gets, the guiding and the decision-making, the harder it is to look outwards of yourself and the decision-making. And I think if it's hard for me, I'm pretty experienced in a lot of this terrain and these activities. How are my guests feeling? How are my clients doing?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's weird. I mean, the whole guiding profession, taking people out into the mountains, there's always so many different ways to do things. And I think you got to maintain big picture awareness. You've got to manage the hazards. You're out there trying to minimize uncertainty to the best of your ability. Recognize when things are stacking up against you and be willing to exercise the plan B option and make it fun. And if you can do all that, you're golden.
And in terms of this decision-making that we're talking about here, you know, when to change your course of action or go forward with your original plan, is be able to logically and clearly describe why you're choosing to make a decision one way or the other way. That's I think, what the examination process is looking for.
Yeah, and I think that's something that we've really tried to focus on too in the training programs leading up to the exams, is what is the decision-making process? What does that look like? And it starts with all the things we've been talking about, right? So framing the overall goal, making sure that it's something that's realistic, communicating risk, making sure that there's alignment that happens there, taking the overall goal and then adding what we know about what's going on with the conditions and the weather, generating the list of options, and then getting out into the field. When you get to those cruxy decision-making points, asking yourself, you know, what can I do to minimize uncertainty here? You know, we're dealing with crevasses. Well, you could maybe do some probing. How could I reduce my overall vulnerability? Well, we could put the rope on, right? And so we're just kind of constantly working through that process. We're trying to reduce uncertainty, minimize vulnerability. And if we find that it's getting to the point where we can't do that, we need to ask ourselves, are we still within that risk tolerance? You know, is everybody still comfortable here? And if we're not, then, well, we're out of here. Or what can we do differently?
Thanks, Mike. Do you have any other advice for our listeners that can help them to make better decisions once they have actually set their goal, their target, their plan, their trip? Any other advice for them there? So they've decided we're doing this. That's our plan A.
Always come back to that, you know, if plan A is a summit or a peak or a ski run, then that might not be the best plan A. I think that should be part of an overall goal, or it could be the objective for the day, but really, really boil it down to what are we looking for in the mountains, and ask yourself. And hopefully the answer is, I'm out to spend some time with friends, enjoy the terrain, enjoy the scenery, and act appropriately to what I'm seeing as far as weather conditions and terrain, and make good decisions. And if that's kind of the base point, then you're off to a good start. And when you're progressing through the day, and maybe it's lining up, we are going to get to the summit, or we are going to be able to ski that line, support the decisions to continue with data points, or taking time to gather information, or taking time to talk to the group and make sure that everybody else is on the same page, so that you're not being the one pushing in. You're not the one that's driving the group. You know, you're not leading because you're the strongest personality in the group. And if we're doing all that, that's going to help water down. I don't think you can ever get rid of the biases, but it'll help water them down a little bit and hopefully give clarity in your decisions. And like we've been saying, if you really feel like uncertainty is rising and it's becoming unmanageable, then that's the time to really start asking yourself some tough questions. And if you can't come up with answers that are agreed upon within the group, you know, you also have to ask yourself too, if uncertainty is rising, am I seeking information? Am I looking, am I using that confirmation bias to support my decisions by being really narrowly focused? So try to get diverse information, interact with the group. And if that's not possible, right, if things are just you know, happen to be playing out that way, uncertainty's on the rise, then go and do something else. Go and do your plan B and get good at making plan Bs and Cs, getting and using the day. You can still do stuff and have fun. It doesn't always have to be about a summit or a ski line or a paddling line or a bike trail or whatever.
Awesome. Well, it's been great having you on the show, Mike. So much valuable information here for our listeners. As we mentioned earlier, we encourage you to check out Mike's other episodes this season. When Mike isn't working for the ACMG and the Training and Assessment Program, which certifies guides within the ACMG, he specializes in providing custom outdoor adventures to small groups. If you have an idea for a cool trip, you can shoot Mike an email at msadolph, that's A-D-O-L-P-H, at gmail.com. You can also find Mike at mike@co on Instagram. Co is C-O-E, Center for Outdoor Education. Additionally, you can visit the website www.viaferratacanada.com to learn more about the two Via Ferratas he has constructed in the David Thompson Corridor. We have put all of these links in the show notes. So Chris, what came to mind as we went through this discussion? How can we know when we should push forward and keep going with a plan when we may feel like doing the opposite?
Well, Jordy, great question. As we touched on, this is a gray zone that we can find ourselves in. So a few of the strategies that can help to guide our decision-making include setting goals around experiences instead of hard destinations or milestones. When it comes to delivering adventure, we can box ourselves in by setting our expectations around achieving certain objectives. If you do have to set a goal, try to set the expectations lower. It's always easier to make people happy by exceeding their expectations when those expectations are lower rather than higher. This can help us if we have to abort. It can also help us when the people we are leading have arrived with predetermined expectations that are well below what they can actually achieve. For example, I often find that when people show up at a ski lesson and tell me they don't want to ski bumps or moguls, when I dig deeper, I often find that the reason they don't want to do this is that they don't actually know how. When they've skied moguls in the past, it turns out they've usually struggled. Often, once they get some instruction on how to do it more efficiently, they realize that they can end up doing much more than they believed they could. In this instance, I try to position the overall goal for the day around the idea of improving skills so that my guests become stronger, more efficient, and are able to gain more control. Of course, in the back of my head, I'm open to going farther, even if my guests stated up front that they don't want to.
Good point, Chris. Here are some tactics that can help to guide us through the gray zone. First, identify data points that support the decision to continue. Right? These are hard facts. This includes the amount of time taken to accomplish a task, competency level of the skills, the interest level of the group, the weather, conditions, the amount of risk, and the amount of risk tolerance within the group. Have that discussion within your team. By relying on data or milestones instead of emotion, we can better manage bias factors, such as fear of continuing if we have had a bad experience, or the motivation to continue because this is what we have committed to. Secondly, try and remove pressure from the leader. Talk to the group for their feedback to ensure you are not the only one driving the group or holding them back. As we touched on in our episode on risk communication with Will Gadd, one thing we want to avoid is hearing people say after the fact that they were forced to do something or that they weren't aware of the risks. Thirdly, if uncertainty is rising, ask yourself why. This uncertainty could include self-doubt, the ability level of yourself or the group to handle the situation, the interest level of everyone involved, the conditions, and the actual route or path you want to take. When uncertainty starts increasing, we should ask ourselves if confirmation bias is causing us to seek out information that supports our goals. Another consideration is if we are simply missing or ignoring crucial information. This could happen because we are blinded by our own personal preferences, information is coming at us too quickly, we are tired or we are fixated on one path forward and are not open to pursuing other options. Lastly, don't make the decision until you have to. This allows us the opportunity to collect as much information as possible before making a commitment. An example of this is waiting until after lunch to decide where to go next. This gives us more time to collect information while also relieving the pressure of human factors such as ownership bias and plan continuation bias. In this instance, giving people a break gives them a chance to recover their energy by taking a break and eating something. Alternatively, afterwards, we might find that giving people a break led to them becoming less enthusiastic with continuing, or maybe the conditions changed during that time. Another thing that you can do while the guests are having a break is go scope things out and get some more information while you're stuffing your face with a sandwich. While it's rarely too late to turn around, committing to a plan before you have to can make it harder to change course.
All good points, Jordy. Now let's turn it over to you, the listener. How do you determine when you should keep going? Have you ever been in a situation where you were undecided about continuing with a plan, but kept going anyway and were glad for doing so? If so, we would like to hear from you. You can reach us through any of our social media feeds, or you can send us an email. All of our links are in the show notes, including links to our Facebook and Instagram. That's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening.